Good morning. Today is the day after Wednesday.
Oh, baby, boy. It's cold outside.
Yeah, well, it was smoking hot inside yesterday. At least a lot of hot air getting thrown around. It's the 18th of December. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Mr. Madrone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Imagine if we could tap all that air that was going around the last couple of days. We'd probably have enough energy for the next year.
Well, let's just say biomass. To use your phraseology, right?
That's a polite term.
Yeah, okay. Oh, or why do we say that? Are you ready?
You bet.
Learn by rote. What is the reason we use the phrase learn by rote to indicate learning by repetition?
You're going to have to explain that one to me.
All right. This phrase means to learn by the wheel from rota, for the Latin word wheel. The illusion is to turning the thought over and over in your mind or saying it over and over in much the same way as wheel goes round and round.
Right on. All right. Rote.
Yeah. So you guys got rote over the last couple.
Well, that's what we're doing here. Repetitive.
Yeah, there you go. Well, no, this is insight.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I think everybody probably listening has heard the decision that was arrived at or the decisions arrived at yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Last week we talked a little bit about the process of public hearings and what that function is and mm-hmm. how things go. One of the things, I mean, there's so many areas we can touch on this.
Yeah, you think we can fill an hour here?
Yeah. What I would, I guess, maybe start with is the concept of fact versus opinion, mm-hmm. you know, and I think a lot of times, probably 95% of the time, when somebody's at the podium talking to you guys, mm-hmm. either it's pure emotion or it's pure logic. That's it and that's it. And depending on what you personally respond to, mm-hmm. one's going to carry more weight than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you find that most of the public comment, was it emotion-based? Or was it logical based? Or was there any separation of those?
I think it was a mixture of all those things. We had, I believe it was almost 250 speakers over the 2 days. We had a petition with 650 signatures. We had thousands, you know, of emails, phone calls, personal contacts, you name it, on and on. And it was really across the gamut. I mean, it really was very, our community was very divided over this. And there were many people who early on were very supportive of the project because I think we all recognize that climate change is real. That was one of the amazing things about all this hearing I'll get back to. But we recognize we need to do something, that there are some serious issues, and we need to figure out a better way to produce our energy without creating so much harm. So, you know, it was all over the board, and I think most people came with a mixture of facts and emotions, frankly.
So with the presentations, did you – if I asked you, okay, for those who were in favor of it,
mm-hmm.
logic or emotion?
Well, I think people imagine it's logic.
Okay, you know? Those in opposition, logic or emotion?
I think the same thing. I think both sides felt they were being logical. But I think in both cases, in many situations, people were not understanding all of the facts.
Because the facts should have carried the day? Or because the facts were lacking and the project should not have made it out of the Planning Commission?
Well, you know, there's so many elements to it. Let's just take the jobs part of it, right? Really important issue for our community. And for those that know me know that over the last 20 years, I've brought in over $1 million a year on average to hire local contractors to do restoration work. And that's at prevailing wages, right? So jobs mean a lot to me. And in fact, I was one of the supervisors who drew a line in the sand from the get-go with TerraGen saying, you can't go around saying you're creating 300 jobs if you're not actually going to agree to create them locally. It's fine to say you're creating those.
Which they did do.
At the very end, after the Planning right. Commission denied them. So from the appearance of it, if in fact they're that altruistic and they care about local jobs, why wasn't that on the table from the beginning? It was really only offered when they thought that it was going to go down in flames.
No, if I was arguing from that perspective, yeah. I would have said, we heard what you said, Supervisor Steve, and we made that agreement.
That's true, too. Whether or not it's at 5 minutes to midnight or not, it's still an offer. You bet.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. I got a big old long checklist here.
We'll see. So.
Yeah, yeah, he knew that one coming
first
in.
A couple of minutes.
Yeah, okay.
You're already writing them down.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, with the Terrigen Project, one of the things that I had still have concern with is that here's an outfit that has spent a significant amount of money.
Yeah, millions.
Wanting to come into Humboldt County. Mm-hmm. And we've got a litany of other businesses that would qualify under that same.
You bet.
And they got chased out again.
Yeah.
Now, this may not have been the final, and I don't want to presume that.
Right.
But it's another somebody wanting to, and we say not in our county. And it's, I know we have a reputation, and it's not a positive one, for doing business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We look at some of the stuff, other projects that are out there pending.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that this is going to send a ripple through their perspective.
You bet. Decision
investors
making.
And decision-making processes and people. Mm-hmm. Going, well, gee, they didn't, what are we going to get put through?
Mm-hmm.
How much more is it going to cost us to do business in Humboldt County than it would in Sonoma County?
Mm-hmm.
Or anywhere else?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this has a chilling effect?
No, I think it has a defining effect. I think it further defines our community in terms of, yes, we want to create green energy. Yes, we want to create jobs. We want to move forward on all those things, but we need to do it in a way that respects our county, our community, and our belief system and values, and that includes Native Americans. I mean, we have a very large Native American population here.
Yeah, it's
in
like
Humboldt
eight
county.
Times the average. In,
and we can't go back to the 1840s and just give it all back, you know, even though there was severe injustices done to these communities, but we can try and move forward in a way that incorporates their concerns into our decision making from the beginning.
Have the tribes now become the de facto determinant?
I would say that on the cannabis industry, it's coded into the ordinance that they actually have the right to oppose a project that's on their ancestral lands or ceremonial sites or things like that. The rest of land use planning, they don't have that right, but clearly in this project, their concerns weighed heavily on the community.
They did in this one.
They absolutely did. And I would say, you know, early on, the community was pretty split. It was a very divisive project from the get-go. But it was really more like 50-50, right? Whereas in the end, it became more like three-quarters, one-quarter. Three-quarters opposed, one-quarter in favor. And that had everything to do.
Was it the community change, or was that just the perspective from the testimony of the people who were motivated enough to show up?
There was so much information being put out there on this project for months, right?
Right.
And so people were exposed to more and more information and more issues. And over time, that clearly changed the momentum against the project. Unless, and I mean, right up to the midnight hour yesterday, I was trying to see if we could work out a deal with Terrigen and with the Russ family to create some sort of a process to be able to give some of this land back at, you know, market value or whatever it might be at some point in the future. And that just wasn't possible to make that happen. So I and the rest of the board, I think, all the way up into the end, were trying to find ways to make the project better.
Of course, you don't do that in public sessions.
No, we do.
I mean, this time
oh, you don't
had
get
to,
it done.
But
yeah,
yeah I mean, yeah, that's, yeah. that's...
It should have happened a year ago.
Other stuff.
You know, it should have happened early on.
So what do
developed.
You think would have been a linchpin to get... I would never suspect that there would be a 5-0 vote. Okay, so let's throw that one out.
Yeah.
Let's just say a 3-2.
Yeah.
I mean, you know the players, you know what their concerns were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To get to get a positive on the project,
right,
what would it have taken?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I keep trying to get 5-0s on a lot of things. We're doing a lot of 4-1s lately, and I'm proud to be part of the 4, actually, lately quite a bit. Things have shifted dramatically on the board, and that's not just because of me. I think it's because of the times. They are changing. Oh, there's another one blowing in the wind, you know?
Yeah, yeah. All these things. You know, that folk music stuff never really caught on. You know that, right?
Depends on who you're talking
to,
I
well,
guess.
Okay. Yeah, and their general condition of awareness, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think that's where most of the board, we were working to try and improve the project and figure out where we could go. And there are a lot of what's called unmitigated impacts because they were too expensive to do. I kept pushing for
just unrealistic.
Well, economically,
desired, but just
as far as
it
would reduce Terrigen's ROI, return on investment, too low for investors to want to invest into the project. And I get that. That's a reality. You can't like.
Yeah, there's a break-even point.
I disagree with that. It's like, no, that's a reality. You know, for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, very few people do things to lose money. Most people don't do things to break even.
Yeah. But it's not going to be often at that magnitude.
So there were lots of issues with this project. It wasn't just the WIAT concerns or native concerns. It had to do with all kinds of other impacts that were not being mitigated because it would have cost too much to do that. And then the project became untenable economically.
Does this become precedent setting?
I don't think so. I mean, I do think it sends a strong message that Humboldt's not an easy place to do projects if you're not going to engage the tribes, if you're not going to try and mitigate for all the impacts. I think we're a pretty educated community, and people get highly engaged on all sides. You know, that's a unique thing. I don't think they run into that in Mojave.
No, other people don't have as much free time on their hands.
Yeah, maybe. Well, perhaps.
It's interesting for
mostly
me.
Mostly military there in Mojave.
Yeah. So, let's say logging permits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we get the timber industry back up on its feet and really humming again.
Yeah.
Same arguments could be applied to that, couldn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's outrageous what we do with timber harvest plans right now. It's like 6 inches thick, and does that make it a better project? Frankly, I'd rather look at the results and be results-focused rather than tell me what you're going to do-focused,
right.
You
know. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Talk Shop's presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Steve, in consideration of how this one played out, and it could be this, it could be any topic of lively discussion and robust points of view.
You bet.
You got a couple of different dynamics that are at work there. Peer pressure, intimidation, things of that nature. Obviously, those came into play.
Mm-hmm.
To what extent? That's tough to tell.
Yeah.
You know, it might have hardened some positions, and it may have changed some positions.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Is that part of the public policy process, is to anticipate and incorporate the intimidation and the peer pressure and I guess I'll just, do you sense that that's part of this?
Well, yes.
Public process of
absolutely.
Anything?
From both sides.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, left, up, right, circle, whatever.
Yeah.
So it gets to a basic question I've asked supervisors for the 40 years or so we've been doing this thing. Leader or representative?
I think you have to be both. And if you're the chair of the meeting, you're going to be the leader.
Right.
You know? But we all have responsibility.
But as a supervisor,
lead. Yeah.
Do you lead the way or are you a representative of those folks that are in your district?
Well, I think it's both things. I think, you know, it's a it's incumbent upon us to really evaluate where the community's at, all of the constituents, whether or not they voted for you or funded your campaign or anything else. I mean all, and I really do mean that. And I return every call and every email. It may take me a while because the volume's huge, but I do that.
So that's taking input.
It is. So you take that input, you listen carefully, and at the end of the day, you have to do what you believe is right based on all of what you heard as well as what you believe is the right thing to do. And that's where you have to lead. You know, sometimes that's in opposition to the majority of your constituents.
But taking an arrow is part of the job.
It is, you know, and, you know, it's not just a matter of following the majority. That's the easy way to do it, you know, but that's not leading.
Yeah, then you're following.
That's
you're
right.
not leading. Yeah.
That's right. But to not listen to that and not be affected by that is equally, you know, at odds with, I think, what our responsibilities are.
Well, they talk about being a leader and being willing to take the arrows of whatever it is.
Sure.
But you also want to be sure that people are following.
Yeah. You do.
Otherwise, you're called lost.
Yeah, that's true.
Just kind of out there wandering, getting shot by everybody. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
So in situations like this, okay, now there was certainly ample time and people weighed in and maybe additional information was made available as the process continued, which is normal, I would suspect.
Yeah, over 1,000 people directly gave us input.
Yeah, you know, and that probably doesn't count goofballs like me that just, you know, we talk rather than me, you know, taking up your time to send an email or a letter.
Sure.
Worse yet, standing in front of a microphone.
Yeah. I think last time
we saw we know you. Okay, get away.
Last time we saw each other, we were in the back room where the overflow crowd.
Yeah.
At least we had a big enough room for everybody.
I prefer to think of it as the afterthought, not the overflow.
You bet.
But you look at something, projects that can be defining for a decade, and I truly believe this is one of those.
It is, whether or not it was approved or denied.
Plus down. And how the process occurred.
Yeah.
Would you change the process of a significant project that has points of view from all different perspectives wanting to be heard? Does the process need to be changed?
I don't know if it's the process or just we have to be more attentive to doing the right things at the right time. And, you know, from the very beginning of this project, people were comparing the Bear River Ridge to Bald Hills, to the Redwood National Park, and both being these magnificent prairie environments in the coast of Humboldt County. And, you know, we just did not do our due diligence of recognizing how important that ridge was to the native peoples.
So is that a general plan issue then?
No, it's
the land you sell?
There's a couple of issues there. One, there are not, nobody ever filed for that being a historic archaeological district, which it is. On both sides of the ridge, there are major village sites on the Ural side, the Bear River side. In combination, those plus the fact the ridge was an excellent trail route, a hunting and gathering site because it's open prairie for elk, deer, and all
that's where the critters
things.
Were. Yeah.
That's where it was at. And so we know these things, and yet because the Wiats didn't say, oh, this is a very sacred site early on, we disregarded the importance of that. And, you know.
Yeah, but on the other hand, the county can't go out and cover everybody's backside.
No, but there is a lot in the literature that documents that this site and these kinds of sites are really important
to
Native people.
So why wasn't that put into the general plan?
Well, it wouldn't be a general plan thing per se. It would be something that should come out in an individual project being proposed for the area.
Okay, so that's not the function of the general plan then, is to make allowances and
it can be.
And indicate what areas cannot be done because of historical nature?
It certainly can, and that was one of the things that Kern County said to me, an anonymous person who asked to stay anonymous, works for the county government there, and basically said she was surprised we would be moving forward with a project like this without having a wind energy ordinance. So we literally do not have. In the general plan, it talks about on certain kinds of lands that you might be able to develop wind energy resources, but we simply do not have an ordinance that kind of guides the overarching concerns and issues and needs to look at when these projects are coming before us. So,
is that a California thing?
No, I think that I know Kern has one, and I think most places that develop wind power do have them. Texas,
so
other
Wyoming, you know, and Texas.
Yeah, Texas.
And a lot of
I mean,
places.
The Midwest is where the greatest wind resources are.
Right.
There's no obstructions, right? It comes from Canada, just all the
blows
all the way to the Gulf of Mexico, right?
There's a song about that.
There is, I think. Yeah. Blowing in the Wind or something.
No, where
right?
the wind comes whistling down the plain.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, KINS, News and Information Times 840.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, so what's the takeaway with this thing? Does Humboldt County have a black eye? Does it identify, now that you know everybody's been noticed, are there ordinances that the county should have in place to help developers and future development projects better understand or to have some reference points? Do the Indians need to, the various tribes that are out there, put together and file on these various historic sites that they've identified so mm-hmm. that we avoid this whole quagmire and swamp and wasting either time, effort, money, yes to the above, all the emotion that was spent on this. There's got to be some takeaways here to make it much better next time.
There are, and I think you just hit on most of them, you know, as far as getting out there early and working with tribes and find out what their bottom line is, what their areas are that are of special significance, and working with that as best as we can. I don't think we got a black eye from this. I think we got a green eye. I think, you know, the message is being sent that this community struggled with that decision, and our board struggled with that decision, because we all recognize that climate change is real, and we've got to do something to move away from fossil fuels and the rest of it. That was one of the most impressive things about these hearings, was that before these hearings, there were many people in our community that still are out there that do not believe that climate change is real and it's a made-up thing by the environmental community or whatever, right? But in these hearings, there were many people who probably previous to these hearings might have felt that way, but 100% of the people that spoke to us, over 1,000 people, you know, in emails, phone calls, letters, and public testimony, everybody embraces the fact that climate change is real. That was remarkable to see that.
Triggered or with the backdrop of the PG&E and the fires?
It was triggered in that by embracing it, it increased the argument for the need to accept this wind project and move forward. So it was, you know, it wasn't altruistic. It wasn't right. because of blah, blah.
So is wind energy on shore in trouble now?
Not across the country.
No,
but
in Humboldt County.
In Humboldt.
Right now, I don't care too much about it.
When you
outside,
look at the other wind sites, Altamont, Mojave, Tehachapi, these other places, I would submit to you, although the desert can be a beautiful place, that these places are not as unique and magnificent in terms of scenery and habitat as this project site was.
Well, along I-80 in Wyoming.
Yes.
In the Rockies.
I mean,
you can argue beauty, but they've got wind farms all over the joint.
They do, indeed.
So as we are looking for, this term island started popping up.
Yep.
So that we are more self-sufficient than what we are.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean we can't achieve that?
You know, no matter what we do, there's impacts, right? It doesn't matter what kind of an energy project we propose, there will be impacts. And that's something we all have to accept. And we do have to do our part. I do think that offshore wind will have less opposition than onshore for a lot of reasons.
Sure, it's not my neighborhood.
Well, it is our neighborhood.
It's out of sight, though.
Yeah, 25 miles out. I think the curve at 13, you know, what I hear is you might see the blinking light on the very horizon.
It looks like a boat.
But you won't. It looks like a cargo ship heading to China, or whatever. So
we could use a couple more of those out of the bay, too. Thanks for coming by, Steve.
You bet.
See you right tomorrow.